What's up, you guys? I'm Haley.
And I'm Andrea.
And this is Inhuman, a true crime podcast. Right, welcome back, everybody. Today we are going to be talking about a spooky story that has some typical true crime in it, but mostly like spooky, creepy, and a little bit of history. Okay. So I'm excited to dive into this. I am feeling all of the fall vibes lately. It has been chilly here for Southern California, and yesterday we like randomly got rain and we put our fireplace on. Ooh. So I was like all about doing the research for this case. I'm
nice.
Such in a spooky mood.
Yeah.
So today we are going to be talking about the very haunted, very creepy Lake Lanier. And this lake was controversial from the damn start. So before we get into the history of the actual lake, I need to tell you about the history of the town that used to be where the lake now sits.
Okay.
So Oscarville, Georgia formed during the 1800s, and the town was in Forsyth County, and it was a thriving Black community of carpenters, blacksmiths, bricklayers, farmers. It had really good land, so farmers were doing well, and it was just a really great, thriving community.
Nice.
A history teacher from Georgia later said, quote, "They had a miraculous farming growth here while the rest of the state was really struggling."
Oh.
There were more than 1,000 residents that made up the town about, I think it was about 1,089. And most of these residents were people who descended from people who were formerly enslaved in the state. So these people had lived there for years, their family had lived there for years, and they owned their land in Oscarville.
Okay.
According to a Style Blueprint article, the residents' lives revolved around farming, church, school, and commerce in the town. So in the early 1910s, the town of Oscarville was thriving, but that all changed in 1912 when two separate incidents happened with two young white women. On September 9th, 1912, 19-year-old May Crow was found dead in the woods near Oscarville.
Oh.
She had been badly beaten and was unconscious, and it was presumed that she had been sexually assaulted and beaten to death.
Oh my gosh.
And she was brought to a hospital, but unfortunately she never woke up and she passed away.
That's awful.
Now, at first there were some reports saying that she regained consciousness and told doctors in the hospital that a Black man had attacked her. But this is completely fake. This is completely false reporting. News outlets were doing this to try to push the narrative that Black men had assaulted her.
What the? I cannot stand that. So I don't even under, like, why?
I know. And unfortunately, this is the early 1900s in America, and that's just how the world was.
Yeah.
So immediately, white residents in the town assumed that May had been killed by a Black man.
Okay.
And I'm just going to give like a blanket trigger warning for the next several minutes. We're going to be talking about very awful racist events that happened. And I just wanted to give a blanket trigger warning.
Okay.
So after May's death, four Black residents of Oscarville were taken into custody. And these were all people who basically were just near the crime scene. So that was the only reason they were arrested. They were just happened to be nearby, and that's why they were arrested.
That is so...
I know. So this was Rob Edwards, his wife Jane Daniel, her brother Oscar Daniel, and their cousin Ernest Knox.
Okay.
So they were all arrested and brought in and questioned, and 16-year-old Ernest Knox ended up confessing to the crime and named the others involved. But as you can likely guess, this was a false confession.
Right.
And he was actually coerced into confessing by officers mock lynching him and telling him that if he didn't confess, that's what would happen to him.
Wow. That's so messed up.
I know. And they basically said, if you don't confess, this is going to happen to you. But if you confess, we can protect you, which is obviously going to be a lie anyway.
Right.
But
they're going to lynch him no matter what.
Yeah, exactly. But he did end up confessing, and, you know, so it didn't matter. He quote unquote confessed and named the others involved.
Wow.
So these four were left in jail overnight, and there was only one deputy left to protect them.
Okay.
One.
Dang.
They left one deputy at the jail to protect them, even though they knew damn well what was going to happen that mm-hmm. night.
That's why they did that. I mean, that's really yeah. why they did that.
Yep. And there's also some reports that the sheriff and the deputy that was left were both running for sheriff for like the next term. And right. so that's why the sheriff left that deputy with them to kind of spite him and be like, you're going to have to deal with this.
Yeah. Make him look bad.
Yeah. So there's a book about Oscarville and its history. It's called Blood at the Root, and it's written by Patrick Phillips. And it's they talk in the book, he talks all about this evening, and I will link it in the show notes. I read parts of it, and it was really good, and I'm going to read the rest of it. Okay. But in this book, he talks about how that night, a huge racist mob stormed the jail to attack the quote-unquote perpetrators.
Okay.
So during this, Rob Edwards was lynched on a nearby telephone pole.
Oh my God.
And then afterwards, members of the mob basically just uncontrollably shot at him. Like everybody was just shooting bullets at him.
Ugh.
I'm not going to go into much more detail, but that book does describe more of what happened. But I'm just going to leave it as that okay. at that for now about what happened that actual evening.
Okay.
Ernest Knox and Oscar Daniel went to trial after this, and the trial only lasted one day. Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise, yep.
After the trial, they were found guilty of the assault and murder of May Crow, and their punishment was that they were going to be publicly hanged, which, by the way, was outlawed by this time. So, like, yes, that's something that used to happen.
Right.
But by this time, it was outlawed. So that should not have even happened.
So they brought it back basically as a racial, like, fuck you.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn.
That's yeah.
so messed up.
And apparently hundreds of people showed up to watch this. And it's reported that people there watching were, like, celebrating.
That is so disgusting.
Keep in mind, there is no proof that these boys did it at all.
Right.
At all. There is no even inkling of proof other than the coerced confession. But it's the early 1900s, and this is just how shit happened, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah.
And these boys were teenagers.
That is so sick.
Yeah. So after May's murder, not long after, another woman named Ellen Grice came forward and claimed that just a week earlier, a black man had snuck into her bed and tried to assault her.
Oh, and she just so conveniently just brought that up then?
Yep. This was just her claiming it. Again, no proof. Mm-hmm. And after this, a local preacher was believed to be this man, and he was actually beaten in the town square, but thankfully he was able to escape before they could kill him.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
But these two crimes kind of started everything, and after this, white residents of Oscarville began tormenting the black residents, and they were doing all of this to drive them out of the county.
Wow.
Mobs overtook the town, setting fires to the land and terrorizing all of the residents, and many of them would run to the local church for protection, and then the mob threw a firebomb at the church. So they were doing everything they could to run these people out of town. And the worst part, in my opinion, is a group of local white men called the Night Riders, who were said to be associated with the KKK.
Great.
They began attempting to drive the black community out of town by riding around at night on horses, Night Riders.
Okay.
And shooting into the homes of black families that hadn't yet fled.
Are you fucking kidding me? With their children and whoever yep. else in there? Elderly? Oh my yep. God.
And these scare tactics and attacks worked because they did this until 95% of the black community had left the town. And it said that the small portion of black residents that remained were working on a farm for a white man. So they weren't even like living in the land that their ancestors had owned for years. They yeah. owned. It was their livelihood. It was their job. It was everything to them. And they were just run out.
Dang.
And you might remember the name Forsyth County if you've been listening to this podcast for a while. Mm-hmm. Because back in episode 96, when we covered the murder, what I think was a murder, of Tamla Horsford, mm-hmm. she lived in Forsyth County. And it was a big part of her case that she was a Black person in a primarily white county.
Yep.
Because to this day, according to the 2019 census, which was the most recent one I could find, Forsyth County is only about 4.4% Black.
Yep.
So this is, even though maybe these truly horrific things that happened in the early 1900s aren't happening, there's definitely still a racial bias from the research I can find. I'm sure it's not everywhere, but it definitely seems like Forsyth County, I mean, it's primarily white. So,
well, unfortunately, racism across the board will always exist. It sucks because it's 2022, but, you know, unfortunately, yeah. especially in these kind of demographics when, you know, they are the minority, they get, you know, yeah. singled out. So it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really think that's a big part of what happened in Tamla's case. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that was episode 96, if you missed it or if you want to re-listen. But back to Oscarville in 1912, Oscarville was pretty much a ghost town at this point.
Okay.
It used to be this lively farming town, and it was a ghost town. And white residents did start to take over some of the land because, as I mentioned, it was really good, rich farming land.
Right.
And eventually it filled up some more. But the way that Oscarville was destroyed was just the start of the bad fortune that would haunt the land under Lake Lanier.
Okay.
So jumping forward to the 1940s, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers wanted to build a lake to provide Atlanta with power and water. They wanted to protect against downstream flooding from the Chattahoochee River. And they wanted something to be able to manage the fish and wildlife.
Okay.
So they were going to build a dam, later named the Buford Dam, that was going, that would run into this man-made lake.
Okay.
The entire project was set to cost $1 billion in 1940.
Wow.
Or in the late 1940s.
That's a yeah. lot of fucking money for back then. I mean, that's a lot yeah. of money now, but damn.
Yeah. Yep. And, the lake, the reservoir that is later known as Lake Lanier,
yeah.
was meant to provide specifically hydroelectric power and then a water supply mainly for Atlanta.
Okay.
So it was going to be sitting about 40 miles northeast of the city, and it lies between the towns of Cumming, Gainesville, and Buford.
Okay.
And the lake project of this, that would eventually turn into Lake Lanier, cost $45 million.
Wow, that's insane.
Yeah. So there was actually some controversy about the naming of the lake, and for a long time it just went unnamed because nobody could agree on a name.
Okay.
And then eventually it was named after a man named Sidney Lanier, who was a writer, a poet, a musician, and a Confederate Army veteran.
Okay.
So it's rumored that the sons of some Confederate veterans were the ones who pushed for the lake to be named after him. But either way, that's where its name came from.
All right.
So the funding for the dam and the lake hit some snags along the way. So it made the creation and construction of the lake very controversial.
Mm-hmm.
56% of the budget for the lake was allotted to design and build the whole lake. And the other 44% was set to be spent relocating families, businesses, and churches that would have to move because the lake was basically being built on their land. So this wasn't like, oh, there's some open land here, maybe a couple things have to move, but we're just going to build on this open land.
Okay.
Basically, Oscarville was going to be flooded for this lake to exist.
So they're just going to run people out of their community.
Yep. So the property owners that remained in the area were offered money for their properties, and this is around 700 families and businesses that were forced to relocate.
Wow.
Over 56,000 acres of land was purchased by the government for about $30 an acre, which is shit money.
Yeah.
One man reportedly sold his 100-acre farm where he had, like, lived and worked for years. He was in his 80s.
Oh, my gosh.
For just $4,100, which is about $45,000 today.
That is...
100 acres.
That is absurd. That is unacceptable. Yeah. Mm-mm.
Yeah. But the government was able to purchase all of this land, relocate the residents, and the remaining buildings were either completely, like, moved or they were just burned down to the concrete studs.
Dang.
And on March 1st, 1950, they broke ground on building the dam. The project took about 7 years to complete, but it eventually opened as scheduled in 1956. And once the dam opened, Lake Lanier was beginning to be filled. And at its deepest, Lake Lanier was set to be about 258 feet deep.
Wow.
Now, the year after the Buford Dam opened, another dam called the Morgan Falls Dam was built just 20 miles downstream to help regulate the flow from the Buford Dam and to help with the flow of water to Atlanta. And just a month after this, a two-month drought hit the region. And if it weren't for the Buford Dam and the reserve of Lake Lanier, the Chattahoochee River would have dried up.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah. So, like, this was definitely needed, but the way they went about building this was
not right. Yeah.
In 2006, there was an issue with the newly installed lake gauge, leading to the lake levels reading 2 feet higher than they actually were. So, because of this, 22 billion U.S. gallons of excess water was released when it shouldn't have, because basically it was reading as if it was more full than it was.
Wow.
So this area in 2006 was already having dry conditions, and the high rate of suburban growth in the area led to increased water consumption. So this error with the gauge led to the governor actually having to declare a drought because they lost so much water that they actually needed.
That's crazy. So they just, like, ran these people out of their home, stole all their water, and now they're in a drought, so, like, no one gets water.
Mm-hmm.
Dang.
And this drought actually lasted through December 2009. Jeez. And led to record low lake levels that had not been seen since the 1950s.
Damn.
And this is where the creepy shit starts to come in, because when the water levels fell, remnants of the old town that used to be where the lake now was started to emerge. So because the water levels were going down, all these things that still existed under the lake because they just flooded it were coming up. So this included pieces of road, the foundations of the homes that had been burnt down, and they just, like, left the concrete foundation. There were also sunken boats, batteries, stolen cars, and discarded firearms.
Interesting.
But we'll get back to that, all this stuff, in a little bit more. Okay. In a little bit.
Okay.
I can't talk.
That's okay.
So today the lake is a hot spot for boating and water sports lovers. There are over 680 miles of shoreline, 23 of which are available beaches for people to swim off of. And although Lake Lanier was never intended for recreation, there are over 10 million people that visit the lake annually.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, it's huge. And there are parks surrounding the lake that have picnic areas, playgrounds, restrooms. There's, like, hotels and cabins all around it. People go boating, jet skiing, and swimming, even in areas that say no swimming.
Yep.
There are also several islands throughout the lake that have even more beaches. And apparently during the holidays, there's over 6 miles of Christmas lights that are erected on the islands to create, like, this animated light show.
That's neat.
So, like, that's really cool, but also, like, let's do it somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly.
But despite all of the festivities and fun that take place at Lake Lanier today, it is rumored to be haunted with many ghosts. And since it wasn't built as a recreational lake, many people who spent time diving or swimming have discovered pieces of this history. Hmm. So, as I mentioned, when they were preparing to fill Lake Lanier in the mid-1950s, the Army Corps of Engineers moved away anything that they deemed dangerous. So they were, you know, they relocated homes, they burned things down, but they also would move away barns, wooden structures, bridges, and trees.
Okay.
Apparently the trees were only taken down if they were too tall. So as long as they were going to be 35 feet below the surface of the lake, they were left.
Weird.
Which, like, it seems like 35 feet is a lot, but when you think about like changing lake levels because of droughts and stuff, yeah, it's not that much. And isn't that just so creepy how like they literally just like filled in so much water, yeah, that it covered
everything,
trees.
Like everything.
Like, oh, yeah, that just like really freaks me out.
Yeah.
So although they cleared a lot out, they left a lot. So like trees, concrete building foundations, there was an auto racing track. And when the droughts hit, this isn't quite enough. And people and boats have run into the trees and other things.
Wow.
So when that drought hit in the early 2000s, the water level of the lake dropped so low that the top of the old concrete stands from Looper's Speedway, which was an old racetrack in Oscarville, became visible above the surface of the lake. So it was literally like you're looking out on the lake and you see the top of these concrete like bleachers, right, from this old raceway.
I can envision that because I've been to like racetracks like that before. Mm-hmm. And that just seems so ominous.
Yeah.
To have, right, it lurking, it's over just, the water.
Oh, so freaking creepy.
Yeah.
So because of all the stuff that they left behind, this makes Lake Lanier one of the most dangerous underwater surfaces in the U.S. There's so much debris under the lake that the water depth is unpredictable, which makes it even more dangerous because, yeah, at some points the lake can be 30 feet deep and then before you know it, it might only be as deep as your shoulders. So it's extremely dangerous. You can run into, yeah, things.
A
boats
tree
can run into things. Yeah, yeah. And rescue divers in the area have repeatedly had to come to the lake to rescue people who have gotten hurt or trapped by things like trees that are just hanging out under the lake.
Gosh, that's so scary.
Yeah. Even scarier is that Lake Lanier has claimed more than 675 lives.
I was gonna say, how many bodies washed up when the lake
drought
was, yeah, was at its lowest? Yeah. Because like, poof.
Yeah. So the lake has claimed more than 675 lives, and at least 27 of these people have never been found.
Damn.
So their causes of death range from boating collisions to drowning to random freak accidents, some from all of the debris under the surface. But the scary part is that people have drowned in calm conditions. Experienced divers and swimmers have drowned. And a lot of the deaths, while they're accidents, go unexplained. Some people who have survived drownings say that before they started drowning, they felt hands underwater pulling them down.
No.
When they were just swimming and they kind of, no, like felt something pulling them down.
No.
And then they also said that,
ugh,
right before
that.
That
makes me want to have a panic attack. Okay, sorry.
I know. And this is even worse. They said that like before they felt being pulled down, they would feel all of the air in their lungs just like leave.
No.
And then they'd be pulled down.
That's like my biggest fear is to drown. To drown or get burned, yeah, alive.
Same. Mm. Yeah, really creepy. Now, there are these unexplained deaths, but there's also deaths that have been alcohol related. So not too long ago, actually, the legal BAC or blood alcohol. Why do I always do this? Content?
Yeah.
Blood. I can never remember what the C stands,
yeah,
for.
Yeah, it was
blood
just in like content, a case that you did not too long ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So random.
Yeah. I need to just start writing it down. But BAC for driving a boat in Lake Lanier is now 0.08, which you might be thinking, wait, isn't that normal? That's the legal driving limit.
It should be zero.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I feel like for a boat, it should be zero. I don't know.
I think so too, because you're driving where, I mean, I guess when you're driving a car, like people could be crossing a street, but like, I feel like this is even worse because
there's no
crosswalks for swimmers.
Yeah.
Like you're just, swimmers can be anywhere.
Yeah.
But even worse, the BAC limit used to be 0.1.
Damn.
So they lowered it to 0.08.
That's crazy. They're like, well, maybe this is a little too loose.
Yeah. So that definitely is what led to some deaths. And that's some of the explanation. But there's also been freak accidents and creepy things that have happened.
Right.
Now, aside from people who have swum. That's not a word.
It's okay.
Swam in the lake. Boaters have also had issues on the lake. So large boats that are in perfect condition have randomly capsized. Some captains report that their boat would randomly run into something and get damaged, but then when they would look out to see what they hit, there would just be nothing there.
Hmm. Okay.
Some reports say that there are, like, giant catfish in the lake, and that's what causes some of these, like, waves and things like that that randomly lead to the boats randomly capsizing.
I could believe that because catfish never stop growing. Catfish and goldfish, I think, are the two.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a fish person, but those two I feel like I know for maybe a fact, kind of. I'm not very confident here, but they never stop growing.
I'm trying to think about goldfish because I had a fair goldfish that ended up living for 3 years that I got the summer before I went to college from a fair. My mom was so pissed that I got this goldfish that I was going to go off to college. And then she ended up loving him.
Aww.
And he like had bloating issues and she had to feed him frozen peas. And it was like a whole thing. But he lived for 3 years.
Wow.
But I don't think he got like super big, but maybe they just grow like a little
well,
bit.
Well, if they have room to grow, they grow. So if it's in a lake.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, if they're in a lake. Yeah. They'll just keep growing.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there are reports that there are very, very large catfish. I saw one report that describes the catfish being as big as a 12-year-old boy.
A dam?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So that could be some explanation of these boats randomly capsizing and then, like, nothing being there because a catfish would swim away.
Right.
And there's also reports of random massive waves coming out of nowhere. So again, this could be caused by like catfish swimming or migrating or whatever.
Okay.
But there are also reports of random storm surges and those leading to massive waves. So boaters have reported the weather being completely calm, their boat being totally fine, and then suddenly big waves and wind would come out of nowhere and almost capsize them.
Okay.
So yeah, just be careful if you're ever going to swim or boat on Lake Lanier.
Yeah, just don't go there. Even though millions of people go, but that's fine.
Yeah. So on top of all of this wonderful stuff, it is rumored that there are several cemeteries from the old community that remain under the lake.
I bet there is.
Yeah, so during the construction, the government said that they moved all of the marked graves, but there were many unmarked graves because of the times people died. They weren't always identified. So there were many, many unmarked graves and they were just left behind to sit under this growing lake.
Wow.
And according to a show on the Discovery Channel, at least 20 cemeteries with headstones and graves still sit at the bottom of the lake.
It's given poltergeist vibes. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
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 That's such a creepy scene.
Ugh. Yeah. So the technology to identify unmarked graves in the 1950s was essentially non-existent.
Right.
So they just left them there because what were they going to do with them? They weren't going to spend money to move them.
Yeah.
And in interviews in recent years, government officials or like people who know about the construction of this lake have admitted that like, yes, there are many unmarked graves under the lake and there's likely many corpses that just lay beneath the lake surface. And it's not necessarily people who died in the lake or because of the lake, but it's there's still bodies laying under the lake.
Yeah, that is terrible because you're like disrupting the dead. And I feel like you should not do that. That's disrespectful.
100%. When these people were buried, they weren't meant to be covered in water. So
no.
Who knows if like the graves might like open up because you're not meant to like be sitting under 200 feet of water.
No, that absolutely. Because you know it's going to seep into the soil and the dirt and whatever else is under there.
Exactly. And so there are people who have reported feeling body parts.
No.
And one local diver who spent a lot of time at the lake named Buck Buchanan has said, quote, "You reach out into the dark and you feel an arm or a leg and it doesn't move."
No, stop.
That's creepy.
No.
End quote.
No. No.
Yeah.
I hate it.
So that's just very creepy. And all of this, the history, the deaths that have happened since, the cemeteries that were left under the lake, have led to many ghost sightings and other haunted legends coming from the lake.
Wow.
So first we're going to talk about the most famous or infamous, depending on how you look at it, one.
Yeah.
The Lady of the Lake. So according to the tale, in April 1958, Delia Mae Parker Young and Susie Roberts were driving to Three Gables in Dawsonville And to get there, they had to cross the Lake Lanier Bridge. While they were driving over the bridge, Susie apparently lost control of her 1954 Ford sedan and drove off the bridge. Now, the car tumbled into the lake and completely disappeared. And the only thing that pointed to the fact that they even went into the lake were skid marks on the bridge. So that was the only reason that they knew that the car had, like, gone into the lake.
Okay.
And despite a massive search for the girls and their car, nothing was found.
Dang.
So a couple years later, there was a fisherman fishing in the lake, and he found a body floating up to the surface. This body was missing both of its hands and two toes.
Okay.
The person was wearing a blue dress, and was, they determined it was a female, but they could not identify her.
Wow. Yeah, she had been in the water for so long.
Yeah, and water is really, really hard on bodies.
Yeah.
So this person went unidentified, and 31 years later, in the 1990s, a construction crew was working at Lake Lanier and found a Ford sedan with a body inside.
What?
So they were able to identify this as the Ford sedan that sunk with Delia and Susie in it.
Oh my gosh.
Based on what they found inside of the vehicle, they identified the body in the vehicle as that of Susie Roberts. So with this, they were able to identify that first body found decades earlier as Delia Parker Young.
Well, that's good, at least.
Yeah. So at least they got, their families got some sort of closure. But there is still the Lady of the Lake seen haunting the lake, wandering along the bridge at night, looking lost and restless.
No.
And this ghost is seen wearing a blue dress and having no hands.
Oh, wow.
So it is believed that this is the ghost of Delia, that she's kind of like trying to find her friend, trying to figure out what happened, and she's just wandering around aimlessly.
That's so sad.
I know. The next ghost is the raft ghost. So this was seen by two men who were fishing one night on the lake, and they reported seeing another raft with a shadowy figure pushing the raft with a pole. Now, the raft had a lantern hanging from the front that was swaying slowly in the breeze, and this man was basically using what looked like a fishing pole to push the raft forward. However, the boat or the lake was 45 feet deep where they were. So how they were... he was pushing the raft with a pole is unknown. Now, the man yelled something at the fisherman, but they couldn't hear him. And he then jumped off the raft into the cold water and began swimming toward them.
Ah, no.
So they said that when he jumped into the water, his lantern extinguished, and so it was dark. They couldn't see anything, so they took their flashlights and shined them like over to where the raft was and all around the lake, and the lantern, the man, and the raft itself were gone.
Whoa.
So this is believed to be a ghost.
Yeah, I mean, sounds pretty good for that. Yep.
Yeah. So people report seeing and feeling spirits all of the time while at Lake Lanier, and there are also several reports of sounds emerging from underneath the lake, which, like, that just really creeps me out.
Yeah, because no sounds except for, like, sloshing of water should be coming from a lake.
Yeah, exactly. There are also disappearances that have been linked to Lake Lanier, and the most well-known one is the disappearance of 25-year-old Kelly Nash. So in January 2015, Kelly awoke one morning and he wasn't feeling very well. So he went out to the couch so he wouldn't wake up his girlfriend. And he'd been having flu symptoms. So he went out to the couch and tried to go back to sleep. And around 4 or 4:30, his girlfriend woke up and noticed he wasn't there and went to find him. So she went and found him on the couch and he just said, "Oh, I'm not feeling well. I just don't want to wake you up." So she's like, "Oh, no worries." And they went back to sleep.
Okay.
When his girlfriend woke up a few hours later to let the dogs out, Kelly wasn't in the house. But his phone, his wallet, his keys, and his car were all still at the house. The only thing that was missing was his rifle, his gun. So He had completely disappeared. Searches were done for him.
Yeah.
Nobody could find him. Had no clue where he had gone. A month later, a fisherman on Lake Lanier found Kelly Nash's body floating to the surface. He had died by gunshot, and his body was extremely decomposed. Again, it's water. Been a month, but also water does a lot.
Yeah.
But he was wearing the same pajamas that he had on the morning he disappeared. Now, some reports say that he was shot in the head, but that I couldn't find that confirmed anywhere in like an actual autopsy or from official reports.
Okay. Do we know if it was his gun?
I don't think they know that either, or okay. If they do, they haven't released it.
Okay.
So some people believe he took his own life, but many people don't believe that. He had left his phone, his car, and his keys at home. Mm-hmm. So why would he have gotten up when he was feeling sick early in the morning? It was raining and cold that morning because it's January. Walked to, I think it was about 2 miles from where, from his house to the lake, and taken his life. Like, it just doesn't add up to his family and friends. They said his life was going great, and there's just no reason to believe that.
Yeah.
And to this day, how he even got to the lake remains a mystery, and his true manner of death remains unsolved.
Oh.
There is one other one, a death related to the lake, but I'm not going to talk about it because the girl has never been named super publicly, and I just don't want to bring about rumors by telling the story here. But there are other disappearances and deaths that have been attributed to weird things happening at the lake. So many people believe that the lake is cursed because of its dark history, and many locals actually refuse to spend any money in relation to the lake because of its troublesome history and just because of the safety issues. Like, it's a dangerous lake to swim in.
Yeah.
There is even a change.org petition to close down the lake.
Wow. Okay. Well.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
It has just 585 signatures, but I will link it in the show notes if you'd like to sign it. In the description of the petition, the organizer wrote, quote, "Lake Lanier is a destination that is used for profit by many residents, businesses, and boaters. Keeping this lake open reflects the message that these lives are worth economic growth."
Mm-hmm.
One last interesting point. Netflix's show Ozark, which is a really good show, by the way, if you haven't watched it.
Mm-hmm.
They often actually film at Lake Lanier because of how much the murky waters looks like the Lake of the Ozarks.
Yeah.
But with all of this, one thing is for sure. While some pictures make Lake Lanier look absolutely stunning and like a lot of fun,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion, it is extremely scary, not just because of its history and its ghosts, but because of the physical dangers that lie in the lake.
Yeah.
But with all of that, I want to know if you guys would visit Lake Lanier, because I would not. Mostly because of, like, I couldn't bear to swim in it just because it's dangerous. But you guys also know that I don't like ghosty shit. So I am staying far, far away from Lake Lanier.
Yeah. I'll be passing on that, too. Doesn't sound fun.
No. Not at all. But I want to know what you guys, if you guys would go visit it, go swim in it, whatever. So let us know on Instagram and or Facebook, where I'll be posting photos of the lake and some of the history, because it's super interesting. And I just think that it's so crazy, all the history behind this lake, because it really, I didn't know any of that. I had heard about the lake and some of the ghosty stuff, but I didn't know any of the history and like what actually led to the ghosty stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think that just makes it so much creepier.
It's so much, too. It's just like a lot to unload.
Yeah, it really is. So yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed a little bit more of a spookier episode today. And if anybody has been to Lake Lanier, because I know we have listeners all over the country and world. So if anyone's been there, please let us know, because I'd love to hear your experience there. But that is all I have for you guys today. Thank you, as always, for listening. And until next time, keep it human.
Bye.